Well, look it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Today, we're going to share with you 4 points of wisdom from Archbishop Fulton Sheen.
Each of us makes his own weather, determines the color of the skies in the emotional universe which he inhabits.
Tell me your thoughts.
This right away reminds me of a situation that happened when I used to be a teacher about 10 years ago, and I taught grade 5, and I had this little boy in my class who every single morning, he would walk through the door and I'd say, "Bonjour," like I was a French teacher, and I would smile at him and he would just walk in and he'd be like, he wouldn't even say anything to me. And I would always just smile. And I was like, oh man, he's tough. And I remember speaking with another teacher who went up to him and asked him, "So what's your favorite color?" And he said, "Gray." And I thought, you know, it's true. We make our own weather, and which determines the color of the skies, our emotional universe. Okay, so it's kind of up to us. Do we wake up with a smile on our face? You know, even when our kids walk down, "Good morning." Like, even the tone of your voice. Not "good morning." "Good morning" with a smile. I remember my dad saying this. I used to work at his chiropractic clinic and answering the phone. He's like, "Make sure you smile before you say hello or good morning or how can I help you?" And that does change. It changes the atmosphere of the conversation.
Have you ever heard the smile in somebody's voice on the phone? You can tell when they're smiling and when they're frowning in the tone of their voice. I have to say, though, you got a gift for that, Janelle. See, when someone asks me my favorite color, it's blue-gray.
Well, look it.
One of the kids asked me what my favorite colors. That's exactly what I said. Blue gray.
Pray. An overcast day.
So, friends, I guess the lesson is pray for Ken Yuzinski.
If you don't behave as you believe, you will end by believing as you behave.
We all have this experience where there's this tension between what we want to do and sometimes what we know is right, especially when we are still undergoing this conversion process, right? And there's this tension. And all of us have experienced acting against our conscience. But when we consistently act against our conscience, meaning act against what we believe to be right, and we do the opposite, and we do that again and again and again, what starts happening is that our actions start forming our conscience. And we start making these little short circuits in our mind. Oh, I don't feel bad. Therefore, it must not be bad because I'm not feeling that way. Or I acted against my conscience. Well, nothing bad happened, so it must be okay. Mm-hmm. Or we start act against our conscience, start comparing against our actions against to the world. I'm not that bad, or I'm just living the way that everyone else lives. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it must be okay. Truth doesn't change with the trends, friends. So just because everyone does something doesn't make it right. So our actions can start forming our conscience and our belief when we start acting against them. This can work also for us. So the positive side is, well, what if I don't have faith? Well, then I'm not going to pray because I don't have faith. I would challenge that with, if you don't have faith, you don't feel like you believe, then start acting like you do believe. Mm-hmm. So you struggle with trusting God. Mm-hmm. Then start making acts of faith. Mm-hmm. Just act against that belief. You want to trust God more. Well, just don't wait for all of a sudden this drop of grace to hit you in the forehead and, oh, now I believe. Now start acting as though you do believe and pray. Pray as though God is listening. Mm-hmm. And then what's going to happen? It disposes our hearts to the gift of faith. Mm-hmm. So what Archbishop Fulton Sheen has said can work both ways.
Yeah, and I remember actually a time in my own life where I was really doubting the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And I remember just praying over and over, like for like probably a week, you know, just saying, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know how or what happened, but it's like now it's like I wouldn't even question the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist.
And that's a gift.
That is a gift.
That's a gift. And we have to rejoice when we do have the gift of faith.
Mm-hmm. Too many people get credit for being good. when they are only being passive. They are too often praised for being broad-minded. When they are so broad-minded, they can never make up their minds about anything. I just think it's really true. I think of often, you know, just if you watch like politicians or just maybe even some news anchors or things like that, and you're just like, what did they just say? Like, did they even say anything?
Take a stand.
Yeah, like, it's like, what are you trying to say here? Because you're really not saying anything of substance. I really actually have no idea what you believe because you haven't made a clear, concise distinction as to do you believe this or that. And I think it's just the safe road. It's a safe road to just not say anything, right. To go along, to get along, and to not rock the boat. And then everyone will like you.
Yeah, you know, interesting. I think all of us, well, many of us, I would place myself in this group, are looking to the church sometimes to speak on certain things, and sometimes there's just silence. But I want to point out something that really I feel good happened, and that was with Bishop Barron. He came out with a letter. I never talked to you about this. He wrote a letter about the problem that Biden has by saying he's a Catholic, but he's pro-choice. And I think many people are looking into this political area saying, why doesn't any bishop say something? Now, there's some that have. Bishop Barron is arguably one of the most high-profile bishops on the internet, for sure. And he wrote an excellent letter, and I think it's praiseworthy. And when I read it, I'm like, he's taking a stand. And isn't that what we desire from leaders, to take a stand on something? Because you don't take a stand for something, you fall for anything. And when people are following leaders who don't take a stand, then they fall for anything.
Why are those who are notoriously undisciplined and unmoral also most contemptuous of religion and morality? They are trying to solace their own unhappy lives by pulling the happy down to their own abysmal depths.
Some tough words there.
Yeah, I need some practice in reading.
Contemptuous. That's a tough one for me to say. Contemptuous of religion and morality. So why are those who are contemptuous? Did I say that right?
Contemptuous.
Contemptuous.
I don't know. I'm no professor here.
I think you get the point. But here's a great example of that. And go back to the pro-life issue. You have two sides here. You have those who are standing up for the rights of the unborn and those who want to kill the babies. And they call that pro-choice. If you look at that, those who are on the pro-life side, my experience is that they're really happy, joyful people, generally speaking. You don't show up at a pro-life rally anticipating to encounter a bunch of angry people. However, if you go to a pro-choice rally, what are you going to find? A bunch of angry, unhappy people. And if you ever are in that environment where there's this march, for example, the March for Life in Washington, in D.C., my cousin belongs to an order called Dominican Sisters Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. And so she would bus kids down to this march. Do you remember the story? And even some of the pro-choice students in our class are invited to come along. And she shared with us the story of how this pro-choice student was shocked by the angriness of the side that she had chosen, the pro-choice side. And because of the angriness and hatred coming from that side, they were swayed to be more pro-life. So I think Archbishop Fulton Sheen's point is most clearly seen when in an issue like this, abortion.
I was talking with a lady this weekend about someone who was close to her who had passed away. And it was kind of a lengthy process of this person dying. And in the midst of that process, she had a conversation with one of her siblings. And the sibling said, is there any way, like, I'm tired. Is there any way that we can speed this up? And even, you know, now that here in Canada, that is an option. It is an option for people to end their lives early, to choose when their life ends. So even though these people are well, like this person was well-meaning, a person of faith, even those thoughts can penetrate good hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think it's a very slippery road where we really need to be on guard of the ways of the world.
Yeah, I think those evil thoughts can penetrate good hearts because good men say nothing. This is where the role of the church, I think, is really stumbled. The church has got to be in people's faces now. It's not a time of passivity. It's not a time to sit back. It's not a time to like write one letter and bam, that's good enough. It is a constant battle against evil.
Mm-hmm.
And so stay firm, friends. We want to thank you for listening, and we will see you very soon. Archbishop Fulton Sheen,
pray for us.